plate a potential nugget.
Let's transition to the second transition, if I may.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how it shows up in our lives.
Yeah, so the second transition, very different. And it usually starts with that sense of just niggling doubts, like, maybe I'm just not very happy with the organization, or is the grass greener on the other side? Or, you know, I always thought of doing this career, maybe I should look at it. And those questions often start fairly small. You know, maybe I should go on a training course to decide something out, you know, to figure out a different way of looking at this. But they quite quickly develop into bigger questions of, is this the life I want? What do I really want out of life? What's the best path for me? Where do my passions lie? And it can feel very disturbing emotionally. You know, we can feel really unsure of ourselves, even if we're very confident people naturally. We can suddenly feel like the ground beneath us is starting to fall away. And this sense that, oh, I'm not even sure who I am anymore. And this can spiral really quickly into these very big existential questions. And it's very normal in couples that once one person starts thinking about these things, the other person will as well. So we're both in this quite precarious emotional state, if I can put it that way.
Hmm. And you use the term reciprocal individuation
Yeah.
in this context. I found that phrase interesting. Talk to us about what you mean by this.
Yeah. So the task at this period of life is what we think of as individuation. Now, what that means is figuring out what is the path that is genuinely my path. So as we talked about before, the path we often take in our 20s and 30s is a bit of a mix of what we really want and the social expectations. And this transition point is a point where we can, for the first time, really figure out, okay, what is really my path? What's the individual path that's suited for me? And what I found in couples is there's a reciprocity in that, that if I go on a journey and you support me to find my individual path, that helps you in your journey. And this is where the couple can become a self-reinforcing system, that if one person's on this journey, the other person can go there as well.
And you also talk about a zero-sum approach versus a positive-sum approach in discovering what's possible. Talk to us about maybe linking it back to how two people in a relationship can figure out their respective paths. Talk to us about what you mean by this here.
Yeah, so very often, and very often actually when we talk about relationships, we talk about them through the idea of a zero-sum game. So, you know, there's a pie and the more I get, the less you get. So, you know, if I push ahead in my career, that means you can't push ahead in yours. So when we have a zero-sum view of our relationship, this is when we get to the language of trade-offs and sacrifices. You know, I gave this up for you, now it's your turn to give something up for me. But what I found is that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way in couples. One person's growth and development can bleed over and spark the other person's growth and development, such that there becomes a sense in the couple that the more you succeed and grow, the more that enables me to succeed and grow, which is a very different mindset from thinking about it as that the more you succeed and grow, the more that diminishes me, the less opportunity I have to do this. And what I found that was really interesting is this was a mindset. It wasn't based on any objective fact. So we can think our way into this growth mindset, this positive sum mindset, as opposed to the zero sum mindset, whereas if you gain, I lose.
And as I think about this, I guess when two people are trying to figure out, their respective pathways, I'm guessing one of them, there's going to be a timing issue, just like the first transition. One of them is going to land somewhere maybe a little earlier than the other. So clearly there's a need for the other person, even if they are, still sort of figuring the way through their own pathway to sort of have that mindset to make it work and move. Is that a fair way of understanding this?
Yes, absolutely. And this is where, first of all, it becomes really important that couples are talking as they're going through this transition and not just presenting a fait accompli at the end to say, okay, this is what I've decided, this is what we're going to do, because our thinking influences each other. And even if you reach your conclusion before me, if we've been thinking and talking about it together along the way, then we're more likely to shape each other's solutions, if that makes sense. But yes, of course, it's very natural that one person may come to a decision and a transition point before the other. And what's really important there is, again, we don't just think short term, which is this works for you, let's go for it. We've got to expand that to a more long-term thinking and think, okay, this works for you, that's great. Is there any way that this could shutter off future options for me? And if so, what is it? So at least we go into it mindfully. And so it's really that long-term thinking that's going to help us in that situation and the ongoing conversation so we can develop our ideas together. And if couples do that, the synchronicity issue is not so much of a problem.
Given my stage of life and the nature of the clientele I work with, this is possibly the segment I have the most visibility to. The biggest disconnect I find is that leaders who are having a successful career often don't have the residual mind space to engage in this discussion mindfully for themselves, leave alone for their spouse. Tying this to Bob Keegan's work on adult development, I think this is a phase where a lot of us are moving from the phase of having a socialized mind to a self-authoring mind. We're trying to move away from the expectations that people have of us to moving on to what we really want to do. But the conundrum here is that for us to sit with it, as Jennifer says, and for the answer to emerge, there's a certain stillness required. And if you're on a treadmill, then it is structurally impossible for you to create that space and stillness. And that's why Bob Keegan's research shows that around 50 to 60% of elderly adults are stuck in this phase of having a socialized mind, never making the transition to a self-authoring version of themselves. And I think that's a tragedy and has significant residual ramifications on stress levels, health, quality of relationships with the family, and so on and so forth. This is also a phase where I feel people should gather where to go feedback. In the advisory work I do, when I'm working with a leader at Crossroads, I end up speaking to his or her colleagues, relatives, and some members in the ecosystem. For example, members of the YPO forum, if the person is a young leader, and so on. Apart from gathering insights around strengths and development areas, in this phase, one is trying to get a sense of what gives the person energy and what makes him or her come alive. The question at this stage is, what is the ideal canvas for this person, given all of his or her experiences, skills, passions, and given the context and what the person is trying to solve for? And the response to this question is often very different from the response to the question, how does a person get better in his or her role, which is often a how to grow discussion. In this phase, developing outsight can be as critical as developing insight by sitting with it, as Jennifer says. If this topic is of interest, you might like my conversation with Tasha Urich, who speaks about how we can leverage insight and outsight to enhance our self-awareness. Thank you for listening. If you're finding this conversation purposeful, you might also like to tune into my conversation with Herminia Ibarra of London Business School, where we speak about transitions at an individual level, and my chat with Linda Grattan, where we speak about the notion of a 100-year life and the implication of that on transitions.